This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your president speaking, president of Ben and Woods, the Tier 1 Nation. I come to you this morning in a great mood. Very, very happy to be here with you. Always proud to represent this show, this radio station, as best I can. As best I can. I often fall short. But I try. I'm trying. I'm in therapy, several different variations of therapy, just trying to be better every single day, you know? Progress, not perfection, is my campaign slogan. And kind of what we've been doing since we've been here, progress. Hope everyone out there is having a great Tuesday morning. Let's get our heads right today. I will just tell you, it is election day. We all know that that's going on. I see a lot of people already panicking about, you know, the inundation of media right now. Listen, my advice to you is, and this is my advice to myself, protect your peace today. Just protect your peace. However you need to do it. If you don't want to listen to the news, don't. If you don't want to be on Twitter, don't be. Grab a book. Go play a game. Go take a run. I'm probably going to go for a nice long walk tonight. A weighted vest walk, which is my new bit. So let's talk about it. But listen, protect your peace as best you can. That's my only message for you today. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel, our executive producer, our imaging director here at the radio station. Paulie is our right-hand man. We have two right-hand, you know, we have two right hands, Ben and I do, and Paulie is our right-hand man. Good to have you here.
Good to be here. Yeah, you know, only thing I'll say is it's a weird world we live in.
Sure is.
Where no matter what happens, you're like, it could get weird.
Yeah, it's that's the thing, is it can always get weirder. That's one thing that we do know. It can always get weirder. To my left, my vice president, Benjamin R. Higgins. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. In case anybody wonders, I did briefly throw my hat in the ring earlier in the year, but yeah, the internal polling didn't look very good, and yeah. I gracefully conceded, stepped out of the race, let you continue on with another term as president of Ben and Woods.
No term limits here on Ben and Woods,
by the way. To serve in my role.
I was a little bummed about that. I thought you were a coward backing out a little early because we didn't even get to do the Ben versus Woods political ads that we did 4 years
ago. Our debates. Yeah, that's true. But that's true. I stepped out early this year on your, you know, Joint Chiefs of Staff in charge of budgetary matters.
Yes.
Vice President of the Ben and Woods program. I'm happy with that role.
It is funny, though, because we do have a budget here on Ben and Woods. It's our budget, and the Tier 1s help us with our budget. So if you buy a Ben and Woods shirt, we make, you know, a few bucks off of it. We put it into a fund. And then we use that fund to buy things like stickers and T-shirts to give away and things like that.
A slush fund, as it were.
Not really slush. Slush is more for like hookers and stuff, and we don't have that. We don't use it for that. that.
I thought it was for slushies. Like, not for slushies. Like frozen treats.
No, a slush fund is for like, hey, we're
not in the Woods administration.
Not under my watch. Absolutely not. But I think with a slush fund, Benny, it's for things that are like, hey, we're going to go on a golf junket, the three of us, and you're going to pay for it.
So we're not going to do that?
No, we're not doing that. Absolutely not.
What's the point? Why not?
But I was going to say, even with our budget, Ben is the vice president, and he is mostly in charge of budgetary concerns, but Paulie will always run by, hey, we need new microphones for the podcast.
I'm the Secretary of Treasury.
It's true. And Paulie will say, should I do this? And we're always like, yeah, go ahead. Do whatever you have to do. So Paulie usually makes those decisions. What would you say you do around here?
It's a good question.
I manage the entire show's bank account.
Ben is a...
I do our bookkeeping.
He's really got a good gig, if you think about it.
I give us a veneer of responsibility. Yes,
a veneer of polish?
Yes, exactly.
It's true. It's true. You legitimize us a little bit.
There it is. That's the word.
That's what I'm looking for.
I legitimize the rest of the program.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I hope everyone's having a good morning in the personal torture chamber at home with my wife, as you can imagine. She knows this is coming this morning. I sent this tweet last night. Now, you didn't see this tweet. How come?
I don't know. I was on Twitter last night at work, so I don't know why I missed it, but I...
Do you mute me?
I don't mute you. I see
good
your tweets,
stuff at night.
But I don't see every tweet while I'm working. I don't I don't scroll. Sometimes you can't scroll back so far. You've like missed it, and it says like 120 new tweets, and it's like I'm not going back through all of those. So,
last night, Monday night, right? My wife tells me, "Oh, by the way, we have a new thing that we're doing." During the week. And I said, oh, okay, well, because youth soccer is wrapping up. They only have one more practice, one more game. I've got three more youth baseball games this season. They're all on Sundays. There are no fields to practice, so there aren't any midweek practices. So we're getting it down.
So you're looking at like Thanksgiving, Christmas, we'll be off.
I'm done for a while. And because, of course, there were five idle minutes, my missus decided to fill the void. And she said, by the way, I've signed the boys up for more swim classes. Four nights a week for the next 4 weeks. And I said, oh, okay. Why? She said, because it's the one thing that they're deficient in. And I said, all right, well, we don't have a pool. We don't go to the beach. They're never really out of our sight around water. They don't really take baths. Right? Like they know enough to not drown in the bathtub right now because we've spent $25,000 at another place near us that we went every couple times a week for 4 years. So I said, oh, we're doing this again. She goes, uh-huh. And I said, okay. She goes, well, don't worry, I'll take them. And I go, yeah, but you're leaving town for a week next week. So that means I will take them. So we go. It was fine. At the end of the day, it was fine. Like it's at a private a woman's home with a heated pool, which is nice. It's different. You're not in there with a bunch of kids.
You're not at the YMCA.
You're not at the YMCA or this other place that has like the big tub.
We did the big swim school.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a slog because you have to get the kids there.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, at the end,
it's,
they're wet.
It's 45 minutes. You have to change them,
dry them, change them, do the whole thing, have a bag for the wet clothes at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I understand where you're coming from in terms of the...
After your work day, you know?
Parental hassle of swim lessons.
It's gnarly.
But, now, again, there is peace of mind that comes with knowing that your kids are solid when it comes to the pool and water safety, and if they ever fell in somewhere... They just swim right over to the side.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it.
Do you guys remember swim lessons?
No.
I took swim lessons when I was a kid.
I don't know that I did take them.
I don't think I did either.
And I ended up...
I don't think they existed.
No, well, they
definitely
existed.
I'm not a good swimmer, but I can swim. Like, if you throw me in water, I will survive.
I'm a good swimmer.
Neither of you were in San Diego at the very young age, though. And I think it was fairly common here.
We were born here.
Was it common here?
Yeah, I think it was pretty common. Everyone that I remember took swim lessons at a very young age here.
Look, I'm not morally opposed to swim lessons. Swim lessons, I think, ultimately are a good thing. Four nights a week. At the end of the year, like the holiday season, when it's like, hey, let's relax a little bit. Let's be with the family. No, not happening. 4 days a week. No, she's great. She's great. The kids got in last night.
It's an odd time of the year in that you'll finish with the 4 weeks, and there's probably not going to be a lot of practicing going on until next summer.
Yes. So it's almost like we probably should have just waited until swim season was upon us again to do it. But again, my wife finds idle time to be the devil's plaything. And if there's idle time, she's like, well, what can we do? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe we spend time together as a family. Maybe we spend time on our own. Maybe I read a book. Maybe I work on my radio show. It's anything. Anything that we can do. I'm telling you, man. She looks at us and says, you guys look way too comfortable there. I'm going to book something. I'm going to find an activity for everybody to do. And I don't like that very much. I don't like it very much at all. And in fact, I'm fighting back on this one. I'm not. I'm going to end up going, and the kids like it and all that. But Ben, you make a great point. As soon as this thing's over in 4 weeks, the only person they know with a pool is their grandmother, and their grandmother's pool is about 60 degrees. They're not going to want to go in it.
Exactly.
So we're not going to go to the ocean. They will not go to the beach and get in the water and be like, Dad, look at me swim now. It's not
happening. No one's going to do that in December anyway.
Correct. So. Very few.
Unless you're a surfer and you get a wetsuit.
A surfer and you're hardcore, right? Yeah. So what are we doing? Again, idle time, the devil's play thing. So we had that little headbutt last night, and I acquiesced and went along, and I'll take one, you take the other, and we'll get them all dialed in and in their warm clothes and everything. But it really eats up about an hour, which is not terrible. But it's just like having to go somewhere when your day is done, and then you have to reload the key. You get everybody home, and you're like, all right, let's reload the car, get the bags packed, like get the towels, make sure you bring the bag for the wet clothes, get the dry clothes out. Come on, no, get your shoes on. No, yes, we're going swimming. I know it's 4:30. Let's go.
I know you. You'll do the swim lessons. You'll stop by Jersey Mike's every day on the way home. Get your sandwich. It'll be fine. You'll make it through.
We will make it through for the next 4 weeks. We had another argument last night because I might be having a slight midlife crisis. Just a slight one. I've had so many in my life. I'm not going to go full bore Corvette, you know, leaving my wife for a younger woman.
How many slight midlife crises I think equal a normal midlife crisis?
I think you don't want to have a major one. I worry what a major midlife crisis would look like for you, Woods.
I mean, I've had so many. I've had so many in my life that you don't want one of those. You guys don't want one of those. And I'm not anywhere close to that. So you're good. But it's actually a little embarrassing to admit, and I shouldn't be embarrassed. If I was convicted about it, I wouldn't be embarrassed. I went to the concert on Saturday night, and at Dia de los Deftones. And the band that opened for Deftones, the one that went on right before them, was a band called Idols. And I really loved them, and they really just blew my mind. And the singer came out, and he looked so cool. And he was stalking around the stage, and they're British, and he's got the British voice, and make some noise, let's split the crowd down the middle, you here. I'm into the whole thing. God, this is rad. And I looked up, and they had him on the monitor, and I went, oh dude, he looks cool. Well, he bleached his hair, and he looked rad. And I thought to myself, now I'm fairly conservative looking, right? I don't have a lot of, I only have one crap tattoo that I got a long time ago. It's terrible. I'm embarrassed by it. It's a sun on my shoulder. I hate it. I don't dress super, I've been like, I think this is Lululemon, right? Like I'm in.
You dress for comfort most of the time.
Yeah, comfort. But I said, I think I want to do that. And I pitched it to my wife yesterday and she said no. And I said, please. And she said, absolutely not. And I said, I'm begging you at this point. Let me do it. I want to do it. And she said, no. And so now guess what I want to do? I want to do it more.
You want to look like the lead singer
from
for
Idols.
Paulie. But you're going to end up looking like Billy Idol.
Paulie, I'm going to send you the picture.
But, you know, from the Workday commercial.
I do. He looks like he's lived pretty hard. Yeah. Okay. So somebody said Eminem Woods. It doesn't look like Eminem. It wouldn't look like Eminem. I think it looks pretty cool. Carlos says I can pull it off. Nate says it's so 90s. It's coming back, though. I'm telling you, this guy looks badass.
There he is with like a little pink in it.
Yeah, he had a little pink in his at one point. That's cool.
Now he looks cool. There's no doubt about it.
He looks cool as hell, doesn't he?
He's a decade younger than you.
Yep.
He's got tats all over the place. And That haircut, I think, is a very expensive haircut. I think he really went to a top stylist. You're going to have to find the right person if you even want to try to pull off this look. Plus, his beard looks very naturally dark. You have a lot of gray in
it.
Are you gonna dye the beard dark to have the true contrast between the blonde hair and the dark beard?
This is great. I knew this was going to happen. Zach, Nate says he's 100 pounds less. Nate, I'm 220 pounds, you absolute a-hole.
He might be 120 pounds.
Then Zach says, Google Fat Mike from NoFX. It looks like Woods with bleach-colored hair. I hate everyone. He didn't go to sport cuts. No, he didn't. All right. Now that she says I can't do it, I'm going to do it. Look how cool that looks. You're right, though. The dark beard makes all the difference. All right, don't be surprised if you see me. Now, what's going to happen is I'm going to probably end up doing it myself and look like a real idiot.
Doing it yourself.
My hair falls out. All right, we'll see what happens. Polly. It's got to be done right. That is Jonah Hill from 21 Jump Street.
His Eminem era. His Marshall Mathers.
Yeah, you guys are making... I think you might be talking me out of it, but I don't know. I don't know. All right, I won't do it myself if I do it. I will pay to get it.
That's what foreplay is for. Yeah, you know, life decisions, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm dead.
All right, it is election day. We will be hopefully a four-hour respite for you before the rest of whatever transpires today in our country. We'll try to just have a good time. Not a huge list of things that we have to get to today, which means it could actually be a pretty fun and loose show. We'll set the menu when we come back. Getting things started. Paul Reindl, Stephen Woods, Ben Higgins, Kelly Danick's got her traffic, and then we'll be right back with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Is A.J. Preller still not loved by his peers in Major League Baseball? We will discuss the general manager of the San Diego Padres, and the GM meetings have a wrap-up of day one coming up at the bottom of the hour. There were some headlines already from the world of baseball, a lot of contract decisions, and a very unusual transpiration of events with the New York Yankees and Gerrit Cole yesterday, which we can discuss about the first day. But I am curious, because remember when, you know, he started his career as general manager of the Padres, there certainly was the thought that maybe around the league that A.J. Preller wasn't the most popular guy among his colleagues. Do you remember that, Woods?
Yeah, and he got in some trouble pretty fairly early in his career with Major League Baseball. And
The medical records.
The medical records.
Yeah, there was a prospect thing in the Dominican, you know, getting like a try. Like, they brought some people to another island for a tryout. I guess you weren't supposed to do that.
It's fairly innocuous stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of organizations and GMs have a couple of infractions on their record. It's not totally uncommon in the sport.
I can't relate. 15 years in this business, not one single infraction. Pretty amazing. You too, right? It's like never been in any trouble.
Anyway, they announced the Executive of the Year Award
last night, yeah.
And it wasn't AJ Preller, and that surprised me. It was
we are also massive homers that live in a silo.
So the winner, and it was a vote of peers. Each organization has a vote, and they picked Matt Arnold, the general manager of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Like Fat Arnold.
The Brewers were a good surprise team in Major League Baseball and won their division. I'm not saying that it's like an outrageous choice. Just feels like, AJ Preller had to make a lot more moves. Everything worked out well for the Brewers, lost their manager, still ended up winning their division. And they had a couple nice signings. What did they get? Rhys Hoskins and a couple things that worked out well for them. But to me, it felt like if anyone was GMing his butt off this last year, it was AJ Preller. Like, fairly clearly around the league, the volume of moves, the success of those moves. If that wasn't the year that AJ Preller is going to win Executive of the Year in Major League Baseball, you know, cutting payroll by $90+ million, increasing your win total by 11 from the previous season, you know, pulling off two of the biggest trades to acquire two very prominent, successful players, one who throws a no-hitter, one who wins a third straight batting title. If that's not going to get you Executive of the Year, maybe you're just never going to win it from your peers, and they just don't like the way you operate.
Yeah, I thought if there was going to be a year where he won that, it was obviously going to be this one. You know, anytime a team's got to cut $90 million and you win more games that season than you've ever won before, I'd say that's a pretty good case that you make when you trade a Juan Soto away and get really good pieces in return that help you go out and really compete for the NL West, you know, really up to the very end. And the NL West, let's make no mistake, is certainly a tougher division than the NL Central.
Quite a bit.
And I'm reading over what's his name?
Matt Arnold.
I'm reading over some of his moves and his resume this year. Obviously, you lose Craig Counsell to the Cubs, and you make a smart hire by hiring Pat Murphy.
But you're just promoting from within.
Correct.
I mean, you know, you made the easy hire.
You did the extension for Jackson Churio, 8 years, $82 million. Good deal for them. Really, really good player. Yeah. Exciting player. Cornerstone guy.
Padres also had a great prospect named Jackson who came up and did well for them this year.
Yep, that was an AJ Preller move, certainly. Yep. Rhys Hoskins was signed. Let's see. Corbin Burns traded to the Baltimore Orioles for D.L. Hall, Joey Ortiz. And Ortiz was a major contributor for them. And then this is interesting. Among the biggest in-season moves were a pair of trades for right-handers Aaron Civale and Frankie Montas, both of whom combined to bolster a starting rotation in need of both consistency and depth. So a lot of lower profile, yet still important moves as well. They did win their division, again, albeit
And the Padres, they had the exact same record, 93-69.
Yep.
Padres played in a much, much tougher division to do so. And AJ just, in terms of, he just had way more big moves, cut more payroll. I mean, to me, if you're comparing column A to column B, it's not really that close.
Yeah.
AJ Preller had a much better year as general manager,
yeah,
not to take anything away from Matt Arnold. So the only explanation that I can see for AJ not winning Executive of the Year is that, you know, his peers, his colleagues, whatever, kind of have a grudge against him. They don't like the way he operates. Obviously, we know Major League Baseball is not a fan of the way the Padres have done their business.
Absolutely
the last few years, and driving up probably prices and expectations for other small markets. Everyone's like, yeah, don't show everybody that you can actually do this. We like our narrative that, hey, we're in a smaller market. We can't spend. We can't, you know, try to put a winning product on the field. That's financially irresponsible. And the Padres have thumbed their nose at that and made some enemies, clearly, in Major League Baseball along the way. I don't think that's conspiracy theory. I don't think that's
It's been spoken.
It's been spoken, yes.
Yeah, Dick Manfart said last year You know, you can't do it this way. You just can't do it this way. And Dick chose not to do it that way and pocketed a lot more money, from the Colorado Rockies than other owners do. So it's absolutely true. I thought that, honestly, man, I thought this was a no-brainer. I really did. And again,
That's my point
here. The no-brainer part of trading Juan Soto and winning more games than you ever have before, having to rebuild a starting rotation with the guys that you got, having to weather the Yu Darvish situation, having to weather the Joe Musgrove situation.
Just the pickup of Martin Perez alone should put you in the running for Executive of the Year and how that worked
out. Peralta, Solano, like all those guys.
So. I mean, take Matt Arnold's moves, multiply them by like six, and you get the year that A.J. Preller had. I don't really can find a logical explanation as to why he didn't win the award.
Yeah, other than, maybe personal.
That's all I can think of.
Sure. I bet he feels like he got it, but he'd never admit it.
I doubt he cares. He's our Executive of the Year this year. I think he absolutely deserves it. Did a great job this year. And now he's got to do it again. He's got, once again, a very difficult set of circumstances, moves to make, roles to fill this offseason, and he has to do it all over again, which, he was quoted in the UT going, this is the fun part of the job. To me, that would be the absolute hardest part of the job, knowing I just did this for a whole year, did it great, put it all together, and I can't just sit here and go, okay, now just roll out that same team next year. No, I've got to pretty much tear it down and rebuild, all the other pieces that I did. And if I don't get it right again, we're going to lose more games. We may miss the playoffs. I got to get it right again this year. It's a tough job. There's no doubt about it.
And that's the job. And let's talk about that article that came out yesterday in the UT. We can talk about that and a couple other things.
All right. We will we'll talk about baseball's general manager's meetings coming up in our next segment. There was a good Monday Night Football game last night that went overtime, including a interesting decision by the Tampa Bay Bucks at the end of regulation. We can talk about that at 7 o'clock. Play some Take on Woods. Chance to win more tickets to Tom Segura coming to Pechanga Arena this Friday. Don't do this. More baseball talk again. Trying to keep it fun and loose on a day where it feels like everybody's a little tight around these parts. This entire country.
You've made me a little tight because I looked at our DMs this morning on X. And you're not super active on X as far as like sending stuff to the Ben and Woods account. But I opened up our X account, checked the DMs this morning, and there was a DM from Ben Higgins DMing it to the show's account. And it was a clip of Dave Roberts on the Mookie Betts podcast. What are you wanting to accomplish with
Ben? You do a great job.
I thought we might want to play it because it was relevant to the San Diego Padres.
You want to play the Dave Roberts Mookie Betts podcast on our radio program.
Because it's relevant to the
because they mentioned
Padres.
The Padres. We can't do that. We're going to break that cycle. We have to break that
beat
cycle.
It out of you.
We have to beat. We may have to literally beat it out of
you. So you don't think we should talk Padres?
I have a bat right here. No, let's talk Padres.
This is something we can talk Padres about.
We already know that we were their World Series. We know that they said it. We know it. How many times do we need to beat it in everyone's head? We get it. We were close. We didn't get it. I don't want to play Mookie Betts podcast on our radio show. Just like I didn't want to have Dave Roberts fill in for me when I wasn't
we played
here.
A couple of weeks ago when Fernando Tatis Jr. was on.
We were still in it. We're out of it. They won. We lost. We're not doing this. Come on. This is why I'm this is Paulie, this is why you're lucky I'm your president. You too, tier ones. Under his leadership. I've already won the debate. But under his leadership, we'd be listening to the Mookie Betts Dave Roberts podcast on this radio show today. Just
so
you know.
I'm proud to be a tier one.
Thank you. Paulie, thank you for being part of the administration. Thank you.
The whole thing, just a few seconds. I mean,
the one that says, yeah, the Padres are really tough. You want that little hit, don't you? That little bump. You want that little.
So actually.
Oh, the Padres.
And I know we're playing the music to go to break.
It'll really kill you.
I kind of wonder if the Dodgers are actually secretly rubbing it in the
I
way you would
are.
Be rubbing it in.
I think they are. I think
they
might be. This is all psychological.
I think they might be.
They are, dude. They absolutely are.
You know, Dave said a lot of interesting things that I guess we won't be talking about.
Correct.
On the program today.
Let him play it on Petros and Money. We don't play it here.
We'll wrap up the first day of the general manager's meetings next here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Are you ready for a small dose of Ben's outrage this morning? Oh. It's something that hasn't even really happened yet.
I love it. Oh, you fake like outrage about something down the road.
Exactly.
I love this. I do this all the time. My wife gets so mad at me.
And I saw it yesterday. It was a move that was announced yesterday in Major League Baseball that I looked at it, and it just kind of started making my hair stand on end. Like, this is going to bother me. And I will tell you what it is coming up.
I'm titillated.
We will also talk about the very unusual circumstances with Gerrit Cole and the Yankees. The Yankees had a chance to do something really funny, and they kind of didn't, and let Gerrit Cole off the hook.
I am blown away with what I saw. And we've all got theories on what happened, but this was truly amazing.
So we will we'll talk about day one of the baseball general manager's meetings right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So maybe I'm getting up in arms over a lot of nothing here. But among the minor headlines yesterday from day one of the MLB general manager's meetings was the news that the L.A. Dodgers had declined, or Clayton Kershaw had declined, his $10 million player option for next season with the Dodgers, electing to become a free agent.
Okay.
But as part of that story, it was also stated that Kershaw is expected to then re-sign with the Dodgers for next season.
Oh, I see where you're going here.
I can't imagine that he's going to get more than $10 million coming after, an injury-plagued season in which he barely, took the mound at all for the L.A. Dodgers, which means he basically is giving the Dodgers a free pass to underpay him next year.
Correct.
Like, he's telling them, I know I wasn't worth $10 million, so you can go ahead and sign me for whatever.
$4 million,
what I'm more worth. Now, what agent in the world would ever say to his client, all right, you've got a $10 million option. They can't do anything about it. If you say yes, the Dodgers will owe you $10 million next year. Now, you can turn it down. We'll hit free agency, but we're not going to get that in the market. You're obviously, 36, you're coming off a huge injury. I don't see you getting a long-term deal. This $10 million is probably the best you're going to get. And he goes, well, I really want to stay with the Dodgers, but I'm going to say no and just let them pay me whatever they think I'm worth.
I see what you're saying
Why do the Dodgers get a pass of, not having to pay, whatever his contract says he was going to get paid?
$10 million bucks, because you ask, how does an agent say that to his client? Well, his client has made, in his career, $296 million in his career. He's good. Whether it's $4 million, whether it's the league minimum. I was talking to some buddies yesterday, one of whom is actually an agent. And I was texting with them. We were talking about the Gerrit Cole situation. And I said, I think the Yankees would be foolish. They can afford it. You got to pick up the option if that's what their ace wants to do. And one of my guys hit me back with, how much is enough, right? It's the whole premise of Jerry Maguire. The whole premise of that movie is, how much is enough? Like, shouldn't the love of the game and the passion for the city or the wanting to be on a team, like, I don't want to take that away from Clayton Kershaw. He's got
God, go back to when you were young.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't about the money. It was about the plan for your team, right?
Yeah, and so I'm reading this going, Kershaw's got a, 15-year career? Do you really think, though, Benny, let's say the Dodgers save $6 million, which is literally chump change to them. $6 million. I mean, honestly, for me, the way I look at it is, you guys want to use up a roster spot on Clayton Kershaw next year? Go ahead. I don't care if you pay him $1 million.
Well, now they don't have to. At least, all off season, they don't have to worry about his roster spot. Well, they don't have to worry about his luxury tax implications. It's not just the money. Obviously, they can afford whatever they want to afford,
right,
but it can put them over the first apron, second apron, third apron. There's draft pick penalties. Clayton Kershaw could be helping them with all of these things,
sure,
under no obligation to do so.
I feel like you're jealous because you wish we had guys that would do the same thing, because that's my read. That's how I feel.
I just don't. I know that the Players Association would not approve of such behavior. Now, if Clayton Kershaw ends up signing for more than $10 million with the Dodgers, then mea culpa. I didn't see that happening, and I thought, why would you turn down guaranteed money in order to become a free agent to go back to the team for less than they were going to pay you already. It was like, you know, Wandy Peralta, fine. He opted in for 4.25. Probably doesn't deserve that. Should have said, I'm electing free agency. Ball come back for $2 million next year.
Right.
That would be a good and honorable thing. Wandy's made a bunch of money in his career. Did he do that? No, because that would be stupid. You signed the contract.
Move.
That's the contract you signed. The team owes you that money. That's the contract Clayton Kershaw signed. That's the money that the Dodgers owe them. Let's not play games and get around it. You signed him to that contract. That's the money he deserves and is, you know, entitled to get from his organization.
Yeah, and I mean, look, what they can do with him what they did with him last year, as Satan's Blowfish points out. They can sign him last second, leave a spot open for him all summer. And when he's ready to pitch, he can pitch. Is it illegal? No. Is it a workaround? Sure. Do you need those kind of players on your team? We all laud the guys in the NFL that do it, the restructures and this and that. And yeah, man, I mean, look, if it's me, if you think we can win a World Series, restructure the hell out of me. I'll figure it out. I've made my money. I want to make some more down the road. Restructure me. But you have to have the right players that want to do that. And look, they're smart about how they handle their business. Now, he's not the only one, though. He's not the only one on that team. Bro, I'm telling you, Jack Flaherty will come back to that team for half of what he could make in the open market.
We know what Shohei Ohtani's already done with his deferral.
Of course.
And yes, there is an element of bitter Padres fan
yes,
in me.
There is.
But the Dodgers have every advantage in baseball already.
Already.
And now they have their players just heaping more advantages on them. In addition to the ones they already have in terms of market, TV, you know, international appeal, everything they've already got in an advantage of, and their players are going, you know what, let's see if we can give you a little more behind-the-scenes advantages as well.
Adam is salivating right now hearing this. I mean, this is a general manager's dream.
Well, and so you and I, Woods, we were talking off the air yesterday about something similar to this we might get into later, but at what point do these players cross that line of manipulating their contracts so much that they're impacting the younger players and the future players that are trying to work towards money, you know, big money contracts.
It's a good point. So I made that point to my agent friend yesterday and said, okay, if so-and-so really wants to be a Brave, or if Jackson Merrill really wants to be a Padre and he loves it, and he says, okay, yeah, I'll sign that Ozzie Albies deal. Of course we're excited. And of course A.J. Preller's excited. Of course the ownership's excited because we just got an elite player for 7 years and $12 million. Like, is that good for Ozzie Albies? No, it's way undervalued. And what does it do to the next second baseman? It kind of sets the market a little bit lower. There's people that do it in our business, and it murders you. It murders you, you know? It's like, no,
think about,
dude.
Like Gerrit Cole, if you were to opt out and then just be like, you know what, I know I'm a $35, $40 million a year type pitcher. I'll do it for $18 million a year,
sure,
and
now
help
see,
the team
Tom
out.
Brady is a perfect
right,
example
but then
of
you
this.
Got a guy like Michael King who's like, hey, bro, I don't have $150 million
right,
in the bank yet. So I'm hoping to get that big contract. I'm hoping to be a $30 million a year. And when you're lowering the market down to $30 million guys or now $20 million
but there's,
guys.
There's tiers, right? Because Michael King's not quite Gerrit Cole yet. And Gerrit Cole got his big payday. And you're right, man. When they get to the end of their careers and they're like, I'll take less to be on a winner, or I'll take less to help restructure the payroll for us to win. I think that's an admirable thing to do. I think it is admirable.
But it's like a double-edged sword.
But you also have to get fair market value for the players that are coming behind you. The other young pitchers in the game, the Sandy Alcantaras and guys like that. Like, they need their payday too someday.
Janine mentioned Tony Gwynn, and we deify Tony for taking the San Diego discount, being loyal to San Diego, as we should. But there's absolutely a negative side of that,
sure,
to his fellow players to accept less than he is worth. And we really need to stop praising players for taking less than their value and villains for trying to maximize their value
What I see is, there needs to be some sort of happy medium, because the villainization of Juan Soto right now is absurd. It's absurd. Oh, he just wants his money. Oh, bro, that guy has earned that money. That's his money. Like, he bet on himself. He's been traded, you know, and
twice.
Now he's able to go out and get his bag. Whatever you do in life, go out and try to get what you can and what you're, don't ever settle for less than you're worth. Ever. I mean, it sucks when you have to sign a prove it deal, and I've signed them. It is not a fun year to go in there on a pittance, you know, and go, all right, I'll show you. You know, I'll show you what I'm made of. But it's not a fun thing to do when you're not getting, when you're doing something and you're not getting paid fair market value. That's tough. And especially in baseball, because you got 100 other people, 100, you got 500 other people going, hey, thanks a lot, dude. Thanks a lot. I know you really wanted to be a Philly, but now my team's coming to me going, well, look what he did.
Right.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yesterday, I made the prediction that if the Yankees would decline Gerrit Cole's option, they wouldn't bring him back for that extra year. They would not want to pay an aging pitcher another guaranteed $36 million. I was sort of right and I was sort of wrong. So yeah. After Gerrit Cole declined, you know, turned down his option, became a free agent and put the Yankees to the test, are you going to pick up that year? The Yankees said, no, we're not going to pick up that year. And then Gerrit Cole said, well,
I was just kidding.
I don't really want to leave. So what do we do now? And the Yankees said, well, we'll let you back on the same deal you were on before. And Gerrit Cole, in like the fastest fold you've ever seen, said, okay, fine. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate
it. And we will just sign that same exact deal that I was on five minutes ago.
And I'll tell you what, man, I don't care what you say. This is a negative check mark for Scott Boras in the first day of free agency. Already, you're looking at this going, bro, you blew it last year. You got a lot of pissed off clients in Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell and guys like that. And this one, you know damn well he advised, all right, take the opt out. Bro, and then what happens? Cashman goes, fine, we're not picking it up. And Cole's like, dude, I want to stay here. I'm a Yankee. I have a house in Greenwich that is 75,000 square feet. My kids are here. I'm a Yankee. Remember my sign? Yankee now and forever. Do you remember that? It's $36 million, Scott. They've said they're not going to pick it up. I don't want to be an Oriole. I don't want to be a Philly. I want to be here. And Scott goes, okay, takes his hat off, puts it in his hand, walks back into Brian Cashman's office. Can you just let us out of this? Fine. I'll let you out of it. I mean, he's lost the juice, dude. Juice is gone.
Brandon in the chat says, wasn't that Manny's point a couple of years ago? He intended to exercise his opt-out because it would have been the right thing to do to help the peers in his game. That was our interview with him at spring training.
You know who appreciates that? Every third baseman in baseball.
100%.
Every single
one. It's such a fine line of wanting to be
and looking
the right, you know, do the right thing, be the good teammate, try to help the team win. But also, you do have some responsibility when you're talking that kind of money.
And I know it's more money than any of us will ever sniff in our whole lives, and I totally get it. But it is what it is. That's where the market is. But sometimes with these guys, man, Gerrit Cole, now he's made a ton of money, but some of these younger guys, they have it. And they blow out their elbow, and they have no, this is what they do for a living. Get your money while you can. I think
Gerrit Cole and Scott Boras should be thanking their lucky stars.
They really should.
Because the Yankees were well within their rights to
just
go,
say, walk.
Fine, we're going to devote that money toward Juan Soto and Corbin Burns. We appreciate your service to the New York Yankees, but we're not going to pay you for ages 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39. Go find that money somewhere else, because guess what? He wasn't going to. And the Yankees let him off the hook a little bit. And
when one of the three teams in baseball that overpays for players says, we're not going to do it. And then you look to the West Coast. Well, Gerrit, maybe you want to go pitch for the Dodgers. Well, they have 40 starting pitchers already. They're good. And the Padres probably aren't going to be swinging deals for guys like me. I'm pretty much out of it. Unless Dombrowski wants to pay me $35 a year, which I don't think he does. And I don't really want to move to Philly. I want it to be a Yankee. Again, remember my sign, Yankee now and forever. I think Scott Boras, man, I think he just continues to overplay his hand. It's crazy.
Hat tip to Pointer Dave, who said the only thing Gerrit Cole opted out of for is covering first base.
That's true. That is true.
All right, we'll come back. Interesting ending to the Monday Night Football game last night. There's definitely two different opinions about it. Also play some Take on Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.